You are listening to the Reality Steve podcast with your host, Reality Steve. He's got all the latest info and behind-the-scenes juice on Zach's upcoming season of The Bachelor and interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. Now, here's Reality Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to podcast number 321. I am your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. Got a good show for you today. We've got Rachel Riley on the show. You know her from The Amazing Race. You know her as season 13 winner of Big Brother. But today, a show called The Traitors has dropped on the Peacock app, and she is part of that show. We will talk to her all about that, and we'll get to that momentarily. So before we get to Rachel, a couple housekeeping notes to go over. The Daily Roundup is up. We talked today about Nick Vial's reaction to Chris Harrison talking about him on his podcast, You Bet Your Ass. I had some thoughts on that. That should be up in your Reality Steve podcast feed. We also talk. I also talked today on the Daily Roundup about The Challenge. Good episode last night, Special Forces on Fox. We talk, I preview a little bit of The Traitors, which we will talk to Rachel about, obviously, and then more Austin Butler talk, because frankly, I'm at a point right now where I can't get enough of Austin Butler. Give me all the Austin Butler sounds, memes, whatever. I want them all. I'm starting to dig this guy's act as much as I claim that I don't and want him to stop talking like Elvis. I think now I've turned the corner. I think I want him to keep talking like Elvis no matter what he does. He could be in a James Bond movie coming up, and I want him to talk like how he's talking right now. Then also the Sports Daily is up. It's my new podcast that I started last Monday where I just talk sports. It's 20, 25 minutes each day. It's on a completely different feed, so you're not seeing it show up in your Reality Steve podcast feed. But go check that out if you're interested in sports. Today, talking about DeMar Hamlin. We're talking about the NFC and the quarterbacks that are in the playoffs this year compared to what we're seeing in the AFC. Pretty big discrepancy there. The Dallas Cowboys playoff utility for the last quarter century. College coaches going to the NFL. And a really interesting sound clip from UFC president Dana White. If you didn't see the story about him, I'll explain that and I'll play the sound clip. I think you'll actually appreciate it because it's something somewhat refreshing that we just don't see. As for this podcast with Rachel, I had never spoken to Rachel in my life before. And what's funny is when I was doing research and I was pulling up all the shows that she was on, I'd never watched any of Rachel's shows. I'd never seen one show that Rachel's ever been on. So, yet, until now, because The Traitors came out on Peacock today, you probably haven't seen all 10 episodes that dropped today by the time you listen to this, but by listening to Rachel, maybe it'll get you to watch, because I'm telling you, and I say it in the podcast, and I'm honest, this is not any sort of collaboration. I'm not getting paid to promote The Traitors. I'm not getting paid to have Rachel on and whatever. It's just somebody I've worked with in the past that said, hey, would you like to have Rachel on to talk about The Traitors? And I'm like, oh, perfect timing. It comes out Thursday. My podcast comes out on Thursday. Let's talk about it. And I want to watch it. So they sent me screeners. And yesterday I watched almost all the first four episodes. So I'll finish the last six by tonight or tomorrow because I'm hooked. I really enjoy this show. It's a lot of lying, a lot of deceiving, a lot of manipulation. It's 10 reality stars along with 10 regular people, and three of the reality stars in the first 30 minutes you're going to see are chosen as the traitors. We don't know why they're chosen as the traitors. You see the actual, we want to call it a ceremony. They're all at a round table and they all have a blindfold on, and the host, Alan Cumming, just on his own chooses the three. Now, maybe later on in the season, we find out why they chose those three, but as for the first episode, no, we don't know why. But those three are the traitors for the rest of the season, and they have to eliminate people and murder people, quote-unquote, by just eliminating them and leaving a note under their door and deciding who they want to eliminate. And then there's a chance for the other people, the other 17 who are called the faithful, they have a chance to guess who the traitor is at a voting ceremony at the round table every episode. And their job is to get rid of the traitors and find out who the traitors are. And it's very interesting on how it goes. And there is overseas versions of it. There's an Australian version. There's a UK version. Rachel talks about having watched the Denmark version of this show. I did not even know that, but I was unfamiliar with it all. The only bachelor tie is Ari is on this show. I'm sure you've seen him post about it on his Instagram. I should have already written these names down, but off the top of my head, Sari from Survivor, Stephanie LaGrossa from Survivor, Reza from Shaws of Sunset, Brandi Glanville from The Housewives, Kate, I think her last name's Chastain from Below Deck. She's on it. A guy named Kyle from Southern Charm is on it. Rachel Riley is on it. Cody Calafiore is on it. Ryan Lochte is on it. I think that's 10, right? Or close enough. And then 10 regular people. And you'll know in the first 30 minutes. And you'll hear in the podcast, I give away who the three traitors are. But I don't think that's much of a spoiler. We don't go much past the first episode, maybe a little into the second episode when I'm talking about spoilers for this show. So the only thing you'll know is who the three traitors are by listening to the Rachel interview. But you're going to know that within the first 30 minutes anyway. So the whole goal is, how can those people keep undercover enough to where people don't recognize that they are the traitors? And if they get called out, what do they say? Obviously, you as a traitor, you can't admit that you are a traitor. You have to throw everyone off the scent. So they're going to have to lie out of their teeth. If someone says suspects them, no, I'm not. But obviously we know three people are. So three people are always going to be lying at some point. So I'm looking forward to watching the rest of this. I'm probably going to knock it out today and be done by the end of tonight. So I might have a few things to say about it tomorrow, but I'll give you guys the weekend to get through it. And then I'll just, you know, have a spoiler warning. Like, hey, if you haven't watched it, when I get to Monday's daily roundup, hey, if you haven't watched it yet, maybe just mute, but I'm going to talk about it because I know I'm going to finish this before the playoffs game start on Saturday for sure. So anyway, it's on the Peacock app. It drops today, all 10 episodes, so it's a complete binge watch. You'll get through it really quickly. I got through the first almost four episodes. I watched them back to back to back to back. And yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. It's a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see how it plays out and see who ends up, you know, winning, surviving in the end, because there is a prize at the end of this, and it all depends on if it's the traitors that are left over or the faithful that are left over. So very good, and I want you to check it out. This podcast is brought to you by HelloFresh. HelloFresh, you get them farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. I've been trying to find HelloFresh recently, and I had really no idea why I waited so long, but I'm so glad I finally did. You know, you've got your New Year's goals, and HelloFresh is here to help you achieve them. Like I said, just skip the grocery store. Take control of your time and your budget with these delicious recipes delivered right to your door. With HelloFresh, eating well in the New Year can be stress-free and delicious. With over 35 weekly recipes, they have the options you're looking for to help you achieve your goals. You choose calorie smart and carb smart recipes, or even customize select meals by swapping proteins or sides, upgrading your proteins, or adding a protein to a veggie dish. One of my new favorite ones, the Italian chicken over lemony spaghetti. I love chicken. I am Italian, and I love spaghetti. So how could I possibly not like the Italian chicken over lemony spaghetti? It is excellent. Only takes you about 25 or 30 minutes to make. It's so easy. The ingredients are right there. It walks you through it. And like I said, you know me. I've been doing this podcast for 6 years. Anytime we've had a food service, I've always said, look, I'm not a cook. I don't like to cook. But these make it so easy for you to do. Italian chicken over lemony spaghetti, meatloaves with creamy thyme sauce, pork and zucchini, bibimbap. I don't even know how to pronounce bibimbap. I liked it. It was really good with carrots and pickled scallions. So check that out. It's one of my new favorite ones. Go to HelloFresh.com and check this out. HelloFresh.com/RealitySteve21 and use code RealitySteve21 for 21 free meals plus free shipping. Let me repeat that for you guys. you are going to get 21 free meals by going to HelloFresh.com/RealitySteve21 and use code RealitySteve21 for 21 free meals plus free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. All right, let's get going now. Podcast number 321. Okay, let's bring her in. We are joined by the season 13 winner of Big Brother, a three-time competitor on Amazing Race, Celebrity Fear Factor, Snake in the Grass, Better with the Brentials, but now premiering today on Peacock, all 10 episodes dropped of her new show, The Traitors. It is Rachel Riley. Rachel, how are you?
Hi, I'm so good. I'm excited to come on the podcast and gossip with you.
Yes. I want to tell you this right off the bat. All those shows that I just named that you have been in, I've seen absolutely none of them. Like, I know your name, but I've never seen you on any of these shows. However, with The Traitors coming out today, I was given screeners, and I have seen the first episode and a little bit into the second episode because I wanted to see who the first elimination was. So,
okay.
You know, this is airing as the episodes are now out. All 10 episodes are on Peacock. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk to you about this show and just kind of, we'll get into small spoilers, but myself, I don't even want to know what happens. So even though it's out there, I don't want to know. We'll talk about some certain things, but first off, just this show in general, how familiar with it were you? It's adapted from an Australian series. Had you ever heard or watched before you were approached to do this?
Yeah. So actually I watched the Danish series.
Okay.
So it was with celebrities in Denmark and it was in Danish. Like, I don't speak that language, obviously. So like, I had to watch it in another language, so I honestly had no idea what was going on. But I watched it, and I was like, oh, this is great. I literally had to get a VPN to find it. I had to subscribe to their, like, network, like, online platform to get the episodes. But I couldn't find, like, I don't think the Australian version had been out at that time. So I think it had, I think it dropped when we were already filming.
Mm.
But I only, like, had watched it in another language, so I had no idea what to get into. And I'm such a like a strategy player. I start playing the game before the game even starts, so I was like, I'm gonna learn everything about this, I'm gonna know what I'm walking into, I'm gonna know how to play. So yeah, I mean, I tried my best, but nothing can compare to like actually living this game. This game is crazy.
Okay, so since I haven't obviously seen the other countries' versions, was this version that you filmed similar to the episodes you watched of the Danish version, or were there differences?
I would say it was very, very similar. I literally don't know what like their strategy was, unfortunately. But like, I would say from the other seasons I've watched, it's very similar, and it's super similar to the UK version, which had, I think it just aired. I think it just finished on BBC. And so I would say it's like very similar to the UK version. The Australian version, I watched a few episodes after I filmed it, and it's a little different. Like, the Australian reality TV is so different from American reality TV. So I feel like you can't really compare to that, but it was similar to the very first version that I watched. I just don't know their strategy.
Okay. Now here's, you know, something that when I was kind of looking through everything, and you know, the basis of the show is there are 20 people that are in a hanging out in a castle in Scotland.
Yep.
And there are three traitors among you that you don't know until, well, we don't know as the audience until you do get to know the three traitors in the first episode. And that's the one spoiler I'll go over, because in the first 30 minutes, we know who the three traitors are. And it happens to be Cody from Big Brother, Suri from Survivor, and one of the regular people. By the way, of the 20 people, 10 people are reality show TV people and 10 regular people. And then the third traitor is a guy named Christian. And I'm thinking to myself, did they do it because they wanted us to remember all their names start with C? Like, what the hell was that? Everyone was a C. I was like, three C's?
I think you're the first person that has said that. And I, like, see, you would be good at this game, Steve, because like, I didn't even think about that.
Huh. Like, okay. Yeah.
I wonder if that was like a sign, like a clue that we, none of us picked up on.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I wish I would have thought about that.
Now, within the first 30 minutes, the host, Alan Cumming, designates who the three, and so the 17 others don't know, but obviously those three have to keep it secret, and they have to not, you know, let anything on. So there's a lot of lying and deceiving, and we all know Cody from his Big Brother days and Celebrity Big Brother that he won, very good at that. So I think he'll be good at it. I think Suri is excellent. I don't know enough about Christian, obviously, because he's just a regular guy. But when I see this, I'm like, just doing the math, I think, I don't know, when we get down towards the end, I'm like, I'm almost like, well, isn't it almost impossible not to figure out who it is just by math? Or there aren't many eliminations.
It's so hard because there's a ton of elimination. Every episode, one person gets banished, one person gets murdered. So as you see in the very first episode, that they're already scheming on who to banish, who to murder. Like, you know, the traitors kind of like run the show in the beginning. There's so many people. It's so hard. You think in the beginning, like, oh, someone did something weird at the round table. They must be a traitor, or someone's acting weird. But I think even in the first episode, I call out Cody. I was like, Cody's acting weird. Like, he's, you know, not acting like himself. I know him. And the thing is with me and Cody is that, like, so I beat him in Fear Factor, and I think he's, like, held a grudge ever since. I could tell right away. It was like, for some reason, he didn't want to work with me. And maybe it was because he was a traitor, or maybe it was just, like, he didn't want to work with me. And so I just was put off immediately by that. But I think it's not as easy as you would think as a viewer to figure out who these traitors are. Because you think everyone's a traitor, right? Like, it's so confusing. You get so confused. And the longer we're in the game, the longer, like, the more confused you get.
Okay, so that was my, I guess I haven't gotten to the part about banishment. The only thing I've seen is who the first murder was. What's a banishment? When does...
Oh my God. So this is the exciting part. This is when you're going to grab your popcorn. You're going to go to the TV. You're going to scream at the TV. You're going to want a bottle of wine. This is where we put all the shit on the table. Like, literally, we sit around a round table and we look at each other in the eyes and you call people out. So, like, this is the part where in the previews, if anyone's watched the trailer, they would see, like, when Brandi Glanville's like, I think you're a traitor. I think you're a traitor. Like, our job at the round table is literally to just call people out, and, like, they will either defend themselves or someone else will defend them. But you just kind of say, like, you know, whatever you're thinking, whatever's on your mind, you're supposed to say it at that round table. So, you know, other reality shows, we say it behind their backs. But, like, here you have to, like, stab them in the front almost.
Okay. So when you talk about someone is banished, how is that done? Through a vote?
Oh, an open vote. We vote and tell them why we're voting them out. So this is kind of cool, which is, like, I think ups the ante even more. So once we're at the round table, like, telling everyone, like, why we're voting for them, like, if I was like, I'm going to vote for you, Steve, because I think you're too good at this game. And then I would have to write your name down on, like, a piece, you know, like a chalkboard or whatever. And then I would, like, put my vote down. So you would know right there that, like, I'm against you. So it's really, like, it's really hard. You have to, like, almost walk a really thin line, but, like, it makes amazing.
And then whoever has the most votes at the end of that banishment is gone. Okay.
Yep, exactly.
And then
they stand up and they say if they're a traitor or a faithful.
Gotcha. Yeah, the 17 that aren't traitors are called the faithful in this show. And so my question would be, if you get to a point during banishment and obviously one of you at some point, I got to believe at some point during the season, someone in the faithful suspects Cody or Christian or Suri is one of the traitors. And clearly they're going to defend themselves and say, I'm not, because they can't give it away. Right. So that makes for very interesting talk. And it's just a matter of, do you believe them? You know, do you believe
Suri? Literally, 100%. Yeah. And, like, people will accuse each other. Like I was saying, like, you'll accuse someone else that's not even a traitor. And you'll be like, you know, I think you're a traitor because of this, this, and this. And then they have to defend themselves. And I mean, but at this point, like, nobody really is believing you unless you have, like, evidence to prove someone else is a traitor. Or, you know, like, you have to just kind of, like, talk your way out of things, which is really tricky in front of a room of, like, you know, 20 people.
And then isn't there, and it, like I said, I'm only through one episode and about 15 minutes of this of episode number two. So isn't there a vote where you where you get to vote for who you think the traitor is, or is that the banishment? Is it the same thing?
That's at the banishment roundtable. So yeah, so okay. We vote at that point. That's
you're voting
when we're
for
voting.
Okay, gotcha.
Exactly. The goal is we're going to banish the traitors at this point, right? So like, hopefully, we're sitting around the table and saying like, you know, Cody is doing this, this, and this, and like, you know, trying to figure it out. But of course, because there's 20 different big personalities and 20 gamers and 20 people that are like, you know, throwing out names and saying this and that. And then you have these like huge reality TV personalities like Brandy and Kate and like people that are just like kind of throwing chaos into the mix. And then you have like this guy, Michael, he like, obviously he throws a lot of chaos.
He's the comedic value so far, at least through one episode.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, he's amazing.
So let's go to the end game of all this in terms of the whole point is if all three traitors are sussed out at some point and banished through the banishment ceremony, then whoever's remaining among the faithful splits whatever money is in the pot, and then if one, two, or all three traitors make it to the end, they split what's in the pot? Is that how the winning goes?
Yes,
in this game?
100%.
Okay.
Yep. So you want to get a huge pot of money because you want to split it, and then, or you're going to have to split it. And then, like, if the faithfuls win, they split it. If the traders win, they split it. So it could be, you know, it could be split in a bunch of different ways. But, like, at the end, if there's, like, you know, one or one, then, like, one of those people could win, or both of those people could win, or five people could win. It's kind of like random how the game could end up. But as long as all the traitors are out and you vote, like the traitors are gone, then the traitors can't win.
Yeah.
The faithfuls would win.
And then once, if it so happens, like I said, I don't want to know what happens at the end of the season, but if it so happens that all three traitors have been banished, the amount of faithful left at that point, split whatever's in the pot. That's how it would end.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, and the traders can recruit other traders. They can recruit people to be traders. You'll find that out.
Oh, okay. Because that was one of my next questions. Is there going to be a twist and turn at some point in the season? So they can actually add to the list of traders?
So they could add to the list of traders.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Man, okay.
But it's kind of like you have to think about it. It's just like there's so many layers to the game about thinking, you know, about the game. Like, do you want to add more traders? Is it beneficial? Like, all these different things could happen, right? So in some versions of the game, the people are like, they want like 100 traders for some reason.
And you
you'll have to see what happens in this version.
And you and Cody have a past. You guys are friends. You hang out outside the show. As you say in episode one, I've drank with him before.
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe Cody recruits you. No, I don't want to know. Don't tell me. Now, here's something that I saw just when I was looking up your Wikipedia and all the shows that you've been on and whatnot. Now, with Suri being one of the traitors, and the fact that when you were on Snake in the Grass, you and Suri and I think Janelle teamed up and you figured out that Stephanie was the Snake in the Grass. You ended up winning that show. So all three of you, Suri, you, and Stephanie, are all on this season. So does that come into play at all? Because all three of you, like I said, were on Snake in the Grass, and now you and Stephanie are technically, at least, you know, through the first episode, you guys are faithful. So, and Suri isn't. So I'm wondering now, did you and Stephanie ever get together and be like, hey, you know, because you kind of know Suri, you were on that show with her. Huh. Is she acting weird? So does that come into play, just the fact that your relationship and the fact that you've been on a show with Suri and Stephanie play a role at any point this season?
I would say it definitely plays a role, and I think that you'll see it once you watch more episodes. But in the first few episodes, there's so much chaos. I don't think that
– Yeah.
I don't even think that we talk about it, because the first few days – and it's like one of those things where I pulled Stephanie aside and I was like, we're good. I pulled Suri aside and I was like, we're good. So it's almost like an unspoken thing where we were just like, we didn't even discuss it in the very beginning. We just kind of like, we're like, okay, we're good. We know we have each other's backs. Like, let's figure out how to move forward and like in this game. But there's definitely times when we're, you know, you'll see as like the episodes go on where we start to talk about it more.
Now, when Alan and they had the traitor, you know, everyone was out around the round table and You'll see that everyone's blindfolded, and all Alan does is touch the shoulder of three people that he made the traitor, so nobody else at the table knows. You all take your blindfolds off, and then everyone just kind of mingles around the mansion. At that point, and you knew there were three, at that point, obviously you said early you suspected Cody from the beginning. At that point, did you suspect anybody else? Were you anybody in your head like, I think these are the three? Did you have anybody in mind, or you were just like, I need more time?
I think I needed more time, but Kate and Brandy were acting so weird. I swear, I thought like Kate was 100% a traitor, and like I think that because I was like, idea, it continues with like, the rest of the show. Like, Kate was my other suspect immediately, just because I knew him and he was acting different, and like, you know, stuff he would do that I was like, this is like obviously Cody. But like, Kate had, I didn't know Kate either, and I'd watched Below Deck, but like, I don't know her personally.
Yeah.
So you never know how, you know, how the people are gonna act. And these new people thrown in, like, they could make up a story about anything. We would never know, you know, like, I don't know them at all. So that was like an advantage, I feel like, that they had, because they could be whoever they wanted to be.
Did you want to be a traitor? Were you mad that you ended up being a faithful?
So I wanted to be a traitor so bad. Yes. Like, I feel like I would have been such a good traitor, but like, my husband, all my good friends are like, you would have been the worst traitor in the world. Like, you would have not been a good traitor. I would have been so obvious. But I feel like in my heart, I wanted to be a traitor. And I tried to convince them to let me be a traitor.
Did how long did this whole filming take, this whole process?
We were gone for like 3 weeks, maybe like almost a month. It was pretty quick, because if you think about it, two people are eliminated every episode. And for us, like, episodes were like almost every 1 or 2 days. So it was pretty quick. Yeah.
It's a really interesting show. Like I said, I knew nothing about this. Obviously, in the Bachelor world, the one person from the Bachelor world that's on this show is Ari. And when it was announced that he was doing it, I'm like, okay, what is this show? Never heard of it. And then obviously, now that I've seen it, I'm hooked. I'm going to try and finish it. Probably,
yeah.
I'll definitely finish it by this weekend. I might even pound out all 10 episodes the rest of the day today. I'm that hooked, and I want to see,
you know,
kind of where this goes. But yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to it. And for everybody, you know, listening, it's called The Traitors. It's on Peacock, and all 10 episodes drop today. So we will know. I mean, depending how quick you can finish it. I mean, for all we know, that you won this game. I have no idea. So I'm looking.
I feel like people are going to skip to the end, and like,
no.
I would recommend not doing that. Yeah, don't do that. So like, don't spoil it for yourself, because if you skip to the end and see the ending, like, you're gonna not. I don't think you'll appreciate the show as much. It's like it's a really fun show. Like, I really enjoyed filming it, and I think also like watching the other versions, I've really gotten into it, and I'm really excited to watch the US version.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, everyone, you know, being the spoiler guy for Bachelor and Bachelorette, I've said it for years. It's the only thing in my life that I want to know the ending of. I don't care about Bachelor and Bachelorette, because it's going to end up probably in a failed relationship. But for everything else in my life, I don't read the end of books. I don't want to know what happens at the end of a movie before I go see it. All the other reality shows that I do watch, especially Survivor, I don't want to know the ending, because if you already know what happens at the end, going into, you know, challenges and tribal councils, you'd be like, well, I know this person isn't gone. So if the editing makes it seem like they are, well, I know they're not, because they won. You know, it's just like, I don't want to know that stuff. It completely ruins the experience. So, no, I would never go to the end to see who wins and then work backwards. I don't understand people who do that, but I know people out there that do. And so, yeah, it's crazy. I did want to talk about a few other things. But like I said, Traitors drops today on Peacock. Go check it out. It is 10 episodes, and I think you're going to like it. I was hooked after one episode, and I'm really interested. I'm really interested in why they chose, maybe it's not explained, maybe it is, like, why did the show, obviously the production team behind the show, were the ones that decided, okay, let's make these three the traitors out of 20. Why were Ciri, Cody, and Christian chose? I don't know. Is that explained?
I know. The same. No, they never explained it.
Okay.
And I think it was random is what they told us. So I'm not really sure. And I think what they said, if like, you know, when they do another season, they said they might change it up so it's even more random. But as far as I know, it was just kind of like random. But I definitely wanted to be a traitor. Apparently the random witness was not in my eyes.
I was thinking that I was like, well, maybe they did it for, you know, it just obviously when they did pre-show interviews with all you people, they just thought these would be the best right. three or something like that. But then I, as I told you, I'm like, do they have to be all three with C's as their the first letter and their first name? I'm like, they chose three C's. And I was like, that's kind of weird. But yeah, is there another C on the show now that I think about it? Is there another
I don't know.
I can't see the, yeah, I don't have the whole cast pulled up, but
You know what? I don't think there is another C.
So the only three people whose names started with C happen to be the traitors. It's pretty crazy.
I think you're right. Yeah. And that could have been like a clue that nobody
picked up on.
But I'll be honest. Yeah. I did not pick up on that, but I wonder if we even picked up on it and said it to people, if they would listen. They would probably be like, that's stupid. They're not going to do that.
Yeah. It's almost like, it's almost too obvious. If there's three out of 20.
Yeah. Exactly.
What a game. What a game of deception here.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about one of your other shows that I did not watch, but Better with the Brentschels. I just read basically what it was about. So you and your husband decided to move from LA to Alabama. So first off, tell me what the reasoning for that decision was. Why did you guys want to make that move and then decide to basically, I guess, Better with the Brentschels, is you documenting this move?
Yeah, exactly. So Brendan, my husband, he works in medical physics. So he got a residency at UAB.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, so we documented moving from, we moved here for his residency at UAB. And since then, he's been accepted to work as faculty, and he's going to take a job in Alabama. So we'll be here for a little bit, which is exciting. I like Alabama. The people are amazing, and it's very beautiful here. But we decided to document it instead of just, you know, like driving across the country or documenting like some crazy adventures. I thought it would be really cool if we could like try to make a difference in every stop that we were making. And so we stopped along the way with these, like worked with these organizations that were making a difference in their community. And we learned so much. We had such an amazing experience. I mean, we like met this amazing girl who is like rescuing rattlesnakes, and like she rehomes them in the desert. And like, it's so important for the ecology out there. So like, she's amazing. And then we worked with horse therapy, and we got to go on this ranch and meet these people that are making a big difference in their local community in Arizona. And they're, you know, working with kids with disabilities, and they're working with people are really great with bonding with horses. So it's like, it's horse equine therapy is just like an amazing thing. And then we came through, we did like Texas, and we went through Alabama, and we worked with like different organizations. We worked with like animal organizations, people that are like saving pets. And after the hurricane in Mobile, they had like a lot of abandoned pets. And then one of the shelters there was hit really bad by the hurricane. So everyone in Mobile came together and like raised money to like rebuild the shelter and to like rehome all these pets. So it's like really cool, like what they're doing out there. And then in Birmingham, we worked with this like, it's called the Magic City Fashion Week, and they're a nonprofit that gives back to the local community and introduces fashion to people that might not have, you know, been able to learn about fashion, or, you know, the kids that might not like understand it's a business, and they give out scholarships. It's a really cool organization here too.
Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got to do that. It was like a really amazing, like such a special experience. I'm so glad that we got to do it.
And I know your daughter was a part of this, right? What year did you make the move?
It was like only a year at the time.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. What year was this filmed, and what year did you make the move?
We moved in 2021. So it was filmed like
at the end of 2021, or I guess it was like over the summer of 2021. And then it was edited and it came out in 2022.
So it was in the middle of the pandemic, basically.
Literally in the middle of the pandemic. Yeah. We worked with this like really cool bra organization. We did a bra walk and it had to be outdoors because in the middle of the summer in Phoenix, Arizona, but it had to be outdoors because of the pandemic. And Phoenix has like a bunch of like, they had a bunch of like laws at the time, like for, you know, like big gatherings and stuff. So, and you know, like we definitely dealt with a bunch of that was crazy. Filming during the pandemic was crazy.
Oh yeah. I can imagine. But yeah, that's really cool that you did that. And where can people watch that? Better with the Brentchels?
Yeah. So that's on Bespoke Television. It airs, Bespoke. If you go to their website, they have a bunch of, like places that it's distributed. It's like a lot of local access channels and, like you can get it on like the Pluto app. It's one of the channels on that app. We worked with Bespoke TV for that.
Gotcha. Like I said, I did not watch any of your Big Brother seasons because I didn't start watching till 21 and you were on 12 and you were brought back for 13 and that is the season that you won. I actually saw that the season that you won, it was actually, you know, since I've been watching 21, 22, the 24 this summer, it seems like the final vote is a blowout. It's just never, it hasn't been close since I've started watching.
No.
You won by a vote of 4-3,
literally,
right?
I agree. Yeah. Well, and this past season, it was like almost unanimous, right?
Yeah,
Except for like, you know, one person.
and the one person who voted for Monty was,
right.
I believe,
Turner,
who was the last person out, and he didn't get a chance to even talk to everybody, or I'm sure he would have been convinced to vote for Taylor. Yeah. So you won by a vote of 4-3. You don't need to recap your season for me, but what put you over the edge on your season? Did you going into the finals? Did you think you were going to win? We'll ask you that.
No, like I had no idea I was going to win the whole season. I feel like for my season, it was so hard. Like I'm such a, like, you know, you either love me or hate me personality, where it's like I can be sometimes a little bit up in people's faces and, you know, it just doesn't rub people the right way. But I'm very loud and outspoken. But I think like I knew I had a feeling I could win when it was like final four. And my friend at the time, Jordan, she had gotten evicted that episode. And then I was like, oh, my God, I could actually win going into final three. But I had no idea until the vote. I just didn't know how the votes would go because I had not made very many friends on jury. I knew I had like maybe 3 votes, and I knew I had Brendan's vote, my husband. He was like in the, you know, jury. But besides him, like, it's always like, are they going to or aren't they? And in my head, I was just trying to calculate the votes. I think the only reason I won is because Brendan was in jury convincing people to vote for me. To this day, think it was like my husband. So he always is like, we won. I'm like, no, I won.
It seems like, you know, in the seasons that I've watched, and it seems like it's kind of like Survivor in terms of the jury, because the people that are on the jury are people you have voted out. So it's like, do you get a bitter jury or do you get a jury that understands why they were voted out? And that's why I've always liked these shows. And that's why Survivor's always been my favorite reality show, because I really like the fact that the people who determine your fate ultimately are people that you basically had to lie to, manipulate.
Yeah.
And yeah. I've always found that fascinating. It's a great social experiment. Same thing with Big Brother.
Yeah.
But you know, now that you mention this, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way, because this might not even be you. However, I do remember, like I said, I don't watch Amazing Race, but I remember Sunday dinners with my family. I don't even remember what season it would have been, because you were on 3 different seasons of Amazing Race. But I do remember somebody within my family circle who was a big Amazing Race fan, and I remember they would talk about it on Sunday night dinners, and they would always bring up, oh my God, I can't stand her. Now, I don't know if it was you. I don't want to say it was you. I don't want to say it was you, but now that I remember, did you and your husband argue a lot on Amazing Race?
We We did. The very first Amazing Race, we argued so much. And, like, maybe we would have won if we weren't arguing so much. argued so much. Well, we were, like, a new couple. And, like, also, I think it's that push-pull that you have when you're, like, trying to win $1 million with someone. You're like, this is 100% the right decision. And then he's like, no. And I'm like, yes, it is. Like, you know how relationship dynamic works.
Well, were you engaged on the first season of Amazing Race or just dating?
We were. We were engaged the first time we did. We got engaged in February after. So Big Brother's over in, like, what, September? So we got engaged February the next year. So it was like 2011 that we got engaged, or 2000. Yeah, I think it was 2011 that we got engaged.
Gotcha.
We got married in 2012.
So I don't want to pin it on someone in my family circle who might have said that, oh my God, I can't stand her. But I do remember them talking about a couple that argued a lot, and one of them happened to be from Big Brother. And
it's probably me then, for
okay,
sure.
Yeah, I think it might have been you.
Because the other Big Brother couples did not argue as much.
Okay. So the fact that you got to do it three times, has anybody in Amazing Race history gotten to do it three times?
Just me. I'm the only female. And then the Afghanimals, who are Leo and Jamal, they got to do it three times as well.
Okay. Yeah, I know the first two times you did it with your husband, and then the third time was with your sister. So you and your husband finished third both times, and with your sister it was seventh. Is that correct?
Oh my God, it's so embarrassing.
That's not embarrassing. That's halfway through at least.
Like, you know how, well, like, we were just there to have fun and to just, like, you know, kick back and, like, whatever. Like, we went in thinking we were totally going to win. And then, like, after the first few, you know, legs, we were like, let's just have fun. this is probably not happening. So let's just enjoy it.
Well, clearly it seems like you're a very competitive person. You did very well on Big Brother. You third place both times. I can't imagine you were fine with, after a first episode, with your sister being like, oh, it looks like we're not going to win. Why didn't you think you were going to win?
Oh, no, I was not fine with it. I think just because, like, she and I, we just weren't doing as well as we could have. And I am super, super competitive. But I also had in my head, like, I didn't want to ruin the experience for my sister because I'm so competitive. And the first time Brendan and I did the Amazing Race, we don't really, we fought the whole time. So we didn't really enjoy it like we should have. And I mean, like, this is the thing. You're literally never going to do a trip like the Amazing Race in your life. Like, I mean, yeah, I did it three times. But, like, you know, it's a very unique experience because you're just, like, running through these countries, doing things you'll never do, seeing things you probably wouldn't see if you were just even, like, a tourist, you know? So I wanted to make sure that I wasn't, like, overly, like, pushy with my sister because I wanted her to enjoy it. So I don't know. I think it was, like, with my sister, I'm just more, like, it's a little bit more fun and we can, like, hang out and, you know, be sister-sister, as I say. But I don't know. With my husband, it's, like, it's $1 million and we better win.
Yeah. And you're with your sister, you just want to braid each other's hair and have fun, and, you know.
Like, literally, exactly, yeah. Yeah, my sister wanted to buy, like, face masks.
Yeah. So the thing was, I actually watched the finale of this season's Amazing Race because I knew that Derek and Claire from BB23 were in it, and I was like, oh, I just want to see if they win. I want to see if a Big Brother couple wins, someone I actually know or I know of, and, you know, they ended up winning. But when I was watching that finale, there were things that I saw, and now I'm going to have to try and remember them off the top of my head, that I was like, I didn't know this was a thing in Amazing Race, and maybe it's a pandemic thing, because from clips that I saw and maybe a couple episodes here and there that I saw in past seasons, I always remembered it being about getting into a cab, and if you got a shitty cab driver, you were screwed. I'm watching Derek and Claire, and they're just like, they're self-driving. And I'm like, wait a second, when did this happen? Is this a pandemic thing? I'm assuming it was.
So, yes, because I don't know if you watched the two seasons previous to their season, but like ever since the pandemic, well, they stopped production in like 2019. They were filming and they stopped production for like a year and then they picked it back up.
Yeah.
And then they were like, they had a chartered plane. Because it was such a big deal for us in season, I did season 20. So it was such a big deal for us in season 20 to like have to book our own flights. And like, we were given, you know, a credit card, but we only could book one flight. So it was like, you can book, you know, whatever flight you want to book, but like, if it doesn't work out or it gets delayed or canceled, you can't book another flight. So that was like a really big part of the race. And then the taxi cabs was like such a big part, especially in other countries. But I think ever since the pandemic, they've had like, you know, chartered planes, and then they've had like self, you know, a lot of self-driving things. So I think it definitely changed a little, but listen, it's still hard. It's like that show is so much up to like luck and challenges, and you never know what to expect. I feel like Derek and Claire were just like such a good team together. And I really enjoyed watching them because like they weren't like the super like, you know, lovey-dovey all the time. Like they definitely told each other what was up sometimes. But mm-hmm. like, you know, they seemed strategic the whole time. But you never knew if they were going to like pull it out, but they always do. So, well, I mean, I think that's why they won.
It really seems like when I was watching it, and I know from the past that, yeah, you had to book flights, and if you know, got screwed or didn't get on a flight,
yeah.
you were behind another team. Excuse me. Now, if everybody is on a chartered flight, I'm assuming that just means whoever – so booking a flight isn't even a part of the show anymore. It's just if you finish right. first in the episode before, you are first off to start, and you get a head start. I'm assuming that's how it works now, and it has nothing to do with booking a flight and
yeah.
how to get there? Okay.
Yeah, and sometimes I don't know because I have, obviously I'm not on production, but when on season 31, sometimes it would be like we all get to the airport at the same time, like if we are all on the same flight, and then they would just like be like, okay, go, and then like we would all like just run, and whoever could like grab a cab the quickest, and it was kind of luck because it almost had nothing to do with like you were first place, so you can go out, you can leave like 20 seconds before this team. So sometimes they did do that on this past season, like they got to go like 45 minutes before or something. But like, you know, most of the time you're all at the same stop, and there might be like a hold or something, and you have to wait, and then they're just like go when the timer starts, and then they start racing again. So it's kind of just it's random if you can like outrun everyone, if you can like, you know, get a cab, like trick someone to pull a cab in front of you, or you know.
Wow.
But I guess, like, if you're self-driving, you can't really trick people to pull a cab in front of someone else.
Yeah.
That was always my strategy.
Oh, okay.
And the U-turns. I loved using U-turns, and I was so sad they didn't have U-turns this season.
I think I know what U-turns are, but I'm not 100% positive. That's where you can, like, you can designate another team to do, like, an extra challenge or something like that? Is that what it is?
Literally, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you make them go backwards, so they have to do the other detour. And they get so mad because they can get so behind,
yeah.
especially if it's like a really hard detour or, you know, something like where they have to like climb up 100 stairs just to get to the detour or something, like, so you can like really put someone behind.
Yeah. But I guess, I mean, that's part of strategy. You do that to a team that you think is really good, obviously.
100%. It's strategy. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I would dislike Amazing Race. In the episodes that I have watched, and I have said this when I've watched it, my issue with it is, and I'm not a person who gets sick very much at all, I get dizzy watching that show. It's too bouncy. It's too bouncy camera for me.
Just bounce around.
Yeah. I'm like,
bounce around.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't do this. It's almost, I'm getting nauseous watching this show.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure it's a hell of an experience. I know it's a hell of an experience, but yeah,
oh, yeah.
I would never. And then the other thing that I saw with Derek and Claire, and I don't think this was the case, and maybe it was, you know, when they got to Nashville, even wherever they were before they got to Nashville, where the season ended, they just go up to somebody on the street and say, hey, pull out your cell phone. Tell me where this place is. Like that wasn't
yes.
a thing, right?
No, it was never a thing, but now it is. Yeah, now it is. No, because like even on season 20, we were not allowed to do that. So we, you know, I think that changed when they started getting more like social. They had a season where it was like all social media influencers. And
okay.
I think that's when it kind of started changing where people were allowed to use their cell phones. But no, on season 20, they would not allow us to ask people for like cell phone directions. But yeah, now they're just like, hey, can you tell me how to get here? Just pull it up on Google Maps. And then Google Maps tells you right away. Yeah, no, we could ask for directions. We could always be like, you would always pull someone aside and be like, you know, hey, where's the Mona Lisa or whatever? And then they could point you in the right direction or give you good directions. And if someone gave bad directions, then of course you get behind because, you know, you're like running around. You have nowhere, you're like no idea where you're going. But I remember we were in Rome and we had to find the steps, like the Roman steps. And we had like amazing directions from this person. She was like from Rome. We stopped her before she was getting on the subway and we got there so quickly, but then other teams were so behind because they had really bad directions.
It just seems like, look, I don't want to take anything away from Derek and Claire, but it and whoever's won the show since the pandemic, but it kind of seems like, while it's still hard, it kind of seems like an easier show now.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I say the same thing all the time.
Okay.
My husband and I are like, this show is so easy now. Like, why didn't we get to do it? Like, yeah, I have, I'm not taking away from them. Like, they won, you know, they have their $1 million. And I'm a 3-time loser, but but it is a lot easier.
Okay.
And I just remember season 20 was so hard. It was just like, we had to like, you know, camp outside and we were so confused and lost. And it was just like, it was so hard. And then now I'm just, and the challenges, I felt like the challenges were so hard on our first season. We always talk about that. And now the challenges are like, they're a lot different. They used to be like maybe more physical. I remember like we had to do Australian rappelling in season 20 as one of the like the final leg challenges. Like it was really scary. And it was the longest challenge because the competition in we were in Hawaii and I swear it lasted like a full day. Like we were racing the entire day. So I mean it's like it was a lot, but now it looks like they're you know, racing for like 2 hours. I'm like, listen, guys, even on 31, we were spoiled. The one I did with my sister, we were spoiled because it was so much easier than the other two amazing races I competed in.
It's the same thing I say about the new Survivor. I mean, you can, I'm not taking away from any of the
days. Like, yeah. Put me on. I'll Jeff Probst, give me a call.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not taking away anything from those winners because I wouldn't want to sleep outside at one night in my life, let alone 26.
Right, right.
But let's face it, 26 days is 26 days and 39 days is 39 days. So as hard as 26 days is, just add on another 2 weeks. Like, yeah.
All my friends that did Survivor say, like, at day 26, you're just, like, starting to lose your mind. So they're, like, they can't imagine, like, they're just, it's so much easier now, I think, is what they're trying to say.
I want to go back to Big Brother for a second. I read an interview that you did where you had said, someone asked you, what is one of the changes you would make to Big Brother? And I think you had said you would love to see not just an all-star season, but I'm assuming you want a Big Brother season of all the winners. Or only winners,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, legends. So I think legends would be more exciting than all winners because, yeah, all
okay,
stars
so legends.
Like, cool.
Okay.
Like, let's get the personalities. But if you do a legend season where we're talking like, so Danielle Reyes, you probably didn't watch her season. She's super old school. But, like, I mean, amazing. Probably one of the best players to ever play Big Brother. Strategy on point. She only didn't win because there was no jury at the time. So everyone saw everything and heard everything and the jury was bitter, but yeah, like let's get some legends on, like you know, Will Kirby, Janelle, like obviously myself, like you know, Taylor, like I mean I'm thinking like Xavier, Taylor, like me, Janelle, Danielle Reyes. I mean obviously we have to have Dr. Will because he's like obviously like one of the main people, Dan Gisling, and I don't think you'll get those players to do an all-star season at this point. Like it's just so much, it's hard to take 3 months out of your life, you know.
What about the Dick guy, Evil Dick? What about
him? So I love Evil Dick. I think he would be a great, like, as a character I love him, but like I don't know, like he, you know, he wasn't able to finish season 13, so I don't know if he could do it again, but yeah, like he was such a crazy character and I don't want to live with him in a house. But like I loved watching his season because he was such a crazy, like messy Big Brother player, you know, but he won. And people like for some reason didn't just like immediately vote him out, even though he was like banging pots and pans and doing crazy stuff.
Do you like the I'm sure you've watched, but do you like the celebrity version or no?
Yeah, I do. I like the celebrity version because I really enjoy like getting to know them and watching their strategy. I think it's hard with the celebrity version because like even this last celebrity one we saw, like we had like Todrick, who was like super game mode, right? He was like a gamer doing everything he could. But then some people like just didn't care, right? They were just like, they didn't know what they signed up for. They were just like, what is Big Brother? They'd never watched. So I hate when you have a show where half of the people are like really into it and half of the people are just like, not, they're just there for a paycheck, you know, like they just don't care. Cause it ruins this strategy of the real gamers. So I would like to see a celebrity version with like, I'd like to see it with the legends. And even if I'm not on it, like I'd like to see, instead of a celebrity version, like a legend season where we have all those people that are there to play the game that are like really good gamers and really smart. And maybe even like people that we haven't seen in years that people don't consider legends, but like a really good gamer, like Matt Hoffman, like he was always thinking about the game. You know, there's so many people now that they could pick for that kind of season. I hope that they do it.
Yeah. I remember, you know, I've watched all the celebrity seasons and you've got your celebrities that come on like, oh my God, I love this show. Like the Ross Matthews of the world. But then you bring Lamar and Ron Artest on and they're like, I don't even know what this game is. Like, what's the point of having them on? At least bring on people who watch the show and like it. Don't just bring them on because they are celebrities. That's where my issue was. Always
totally agree. Yeah. Right. I agree. And like, I love, of course, we all love the comic relief, but like, I am a television aficionado and like, I'm obsessed with Unscripted. So I love watching reality shows and I want to see people that are like funny, but also gamers.
And speaking,
I also want to be there.
Well, speaking of that, the last thing I want to talk about the fact is that you are a casting director for reality shows, right? Which shows have you done and are still doing?
Oh my gosh, I've done so many. I've done it for like almost 7 years now. Wow. So like some really big ones I cast for, I'm not currently casting for this, but I previously casted for Love Island. I've cast for Too Hot to Handle. So I do a ton of like dating shows. And then I've also cast like, you know, I cast Laura Bama Shore and I cast for, oh my gosh, what's the New Jersey Shore that they were just doing that I don't know what happened to it, but it got started filming and then they stopped filming it. Hopefully that will come back. But I cast like a bunch of like docufollows. I've casted so many game shows like Press Your Luck, the Card Sharks. Right now I'm casting Let's Make a Deal. So I've cast like a bunch of stuff. Hopefully soon I'll be casting this other really cute dating show and it's with older people. So if anyone has their grandma or anyone they're listening to, like, please find me on Instagram and send me their info.
Wait, is that the one the Bachelor's been trying to push through for 3 years now?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yes.
So why? I know that they started first promoting that the Senior Bachelor, and then the pandemic hit. But it's been 3 years. Like, why hasn't this show been on yet?
I don't know. I don't think it's filmed. So
it definitely hasn't filmed. But I'm like, they keep promoting and they keep sometimes during, whether it's Paradise or the Bachelor season or the Bachelorette, they'll sometimes run the casting commercial for, hey, if you know somebody, an older senior citizen over 55, you know, have them apply here. But we've been seeing that commercial for three years
so long.
And the show hasn't aired because they haven't filmed it yet.
It's been a challenge to find good people. But then also, like, you have to remember, like, all these shows we start casting, unless it's a show that's been on for like years, you know, it's going to take a long time. Like I started casting the Dance Monsters that's on Netflix right now. We started casting that, I think, in 2018, and it just now came out.
Wow.
So we did get put on hold for a little bit for the pandemic, obviously. But then, like, you know, it takes a minute for them to, like, you know, get the cast together and get everything for production together. And then, like, you know, it's just, like, crazy, like, how long it takes sometimes for, like, new shows to come out. But, you know, like Let's Make a Deal, or when I'm working on, like, a show like Price is Right or something, we'll cast someone and a month later they're on the show, or even like sometimes it's like a week later. So you never know. It just kind of depends on the filming and the production schedule. Sometimes they want us to cast people in a week. We're like, you need them to like go through background check and do all this stuff. Like, and they never have a final cast. Not never. Like a lot of times a final cast isn't decided until they start even like, you know, filming, like Temptation Island. Like, we, you know, you never know what's going to happen or like who's going to back out or who's going to move forward. And it just, It's crazy. It's like a crazy job, but I love it. I love everything about it.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, clearly casting for a game show, whether it's Let's Make a Deal or Price is Right, is way different than what you're casting for on a reality dating show. So tell me about the actual reality dating show casting. That had to have changed in the last 5 to 7 years with the advent of social media, where if you end up lasting long enough, getting enough followers, your whole life can change and you can quit your 8-to-5 job. And all of a sudden you are now an influencer, and you got to know people are going into casting and sitting in front of casting directors almost wanting to play a character or be like a someone from a previous season who had a lot of success. So do you suss that out, or you're like, I'm fine with it as long as they're good TV?
I mean, for me, I'm both, but like, I don't always see like what the network is saying, but, for like, from my point of view, I kind of love it, because if they're like, you know, my favorite bachelor ever is Ari, and I'm going to be like Ari, and I'm going to be indecisive, and who knows what's going to happen, and up in the air, you know, like, if that person is saying that, then I'm like, this is great, because they already have a feel for the show. They already kind of know what they want to do. And they're going to go in there with like thinking they're going to be a certain way, which is great. But I think it's people. The biggest thing I say to everyone always is like, we can spot a fake. So like, don't tell me your favorite player ever, you know, on a reality show is Janelle, because you think I want to hear that, or Taylor, because she just won. You know, don't say like, hey, I want to be on Big Brother. My favorite person is Taylor. I'm going to play totally like Taylor. It's like, you know, tell me what you're going to do to like get there. Because especially with competition shows, you'd be so surprised. People either have their whole gameplay strategized, or they're just like, I don't know, I'm just going to go in there and let it happen. And so you kind of want someone that's a little bit in the middle, where they're like willing to change if they need to. Or if they're willing to like on a dating show, if they're willing to go in looking for love, like have their heart open, ready to have their heart be broken if that happens, but also ready to like fall head over heels in love. Like that's the perfect person, you know, like that's who I want to put on a dating show, because they're going to be open to the experiment. They're going to be open to like, whatever happens, and they're probably going to make great TV just because they're like hearts on their sleeve, you know? So like, we want to see that raw emotion. But when you go in as a character and you're like, you know, this is my gig, this is what I'm doing, it does get played out. Like we see that all the time on The Bachelor, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting. And I got to imagine some people are easier to suss out than others.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. I mean, some people go in when you're doing your first Zoom with them and you're just like, okay, this person is totally like, they don't even care about falling in love. They're literally just want to be like famous. You know, you can tell. Like it's super obvious. And I don't know if that's just certain people are so obvious about what they're doing, but then some people seem so genuine and they're like, you know, my cousin told me to apply. And then you're like, okay, well tell me like, what are you thinking? Like, what's your like relationships? Like, I mean, we're like therapists in these Zooms. I'm telling you, we do deep dives with these people where it's like, we want to learn everything about them, and we get to know like everything about their past relationships. So, I mean, by the time that they're like put on this cast, they should be like pretty authentic. But again, it's like the age of social media. And sometimes if like, you know, someone's super hot and fun and has a good personality and bubbly, you're just like, push them through.
That's really good stuff. Yeah. And, it's great that you have gotten into that business. And, you know, I
love it.
You know, having come into this interview and, you know, having heard things about Rachel Riley, you're just lovely to deal with. I guess since I haven't watched any of your other stuff, I have nothing to go off of. But
thank you.
there was this reputation before you that preceded you. I'm like, I didn't hear it in this hour that I spoke to you. So thanks again so much for coming on.
No,
and like
you.
I said, The Traitors drops today on the Peacock app. Go check it out. All 10 episodes are out right now. I know I'm going to finish it before this weekend. Like I said, I might even finish it all today, but I can't wait to see it. And Rachel, I'm definitely going to email you and give you my thoughts once I'm done watching.
Thank you.
I'll probably have some more questions about it from somebody that was there. So Be on the lookout for that once I finish it this weekend. But
Ray, I love talking about it.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome. So thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it, and we will definitely
thank
be in
you
touch.
For having me.
You got it.
Yes, please do. And thank you so much for having me. Anytime, I'd love to come back and talk about whatever.
No, no problem. Thanks a lot, Rachel.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much to Rachel for coming on. Really had a good time talking to her. Never spoken to her before, and seeing how many shows she did, my gosh, when I was doing some research on her, I'm like, my gosh, she's been on so many reality shows. But The Traitors, go check it out. It's on Peacock. It got released today. I think you're going to like it. I didn't know whether I was going to like it or not, and I don't really like diving into new shows, but this one I did like. And I can tell you right now, 100% honestly, I'm not getting paid for this. This isn't some sort of collaboration I have with Peacock or Traders. Someone that I dealt with, remember when I was doing 12 Dates of Christmas and I had those people on? Same person that is like kind of working behind the scenes pitched Rachel to me and would said, hey, would you like to have her on your podcast? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So I said, can you send me over some screeners I did want to see? So I watched at the time that I interviewed Rachel yesterday, I had only watched the first episode and, like I said, about 20 minutes of the second episode because I wanted to see who the first elimination was, and that what happens in the beginning of the second episode. So finished. The plan was to finish all four screeners that they sent me yesterday, the first four episodes, and then the rest I'm going to finish today or tomorrow on Peacock. But really interesting show. I'm curious to see how it plays out. A lot of deceiving, a lot of lying. So I'm looking forward to this. I want to see who ends up winning. The fact that she brought up there is a twist and turn where the traders could actually recruit more traders, that's an interesting twist that I'm interested to see. So, yeah, want to see how this all plays out. Check it out. It's on Peacock. 10 reality stars and 10 regular people put into a mansion in Scotland. Reality stars that I've mentioned, like I said, Rachel's on it. Ari Lyandike is on it. Ryan Lochte. Suri from Survivor, Suri Fields, Stephanie LaGrossa from Survivor, Raza from Shaws of Sunset, haven't watched that show, Brandy Glanville, you all know her, Kate Chastain, I think that's Below Deck, never watched that one, I think that's the 10, I might be missing one. Oh, and then a guy from Southern Charm, I think, Kyle Cook, is that his name? I think that's the 10. And then 10 regular people. But yeah, very interesting. Good concept. Would definitely be interested in watching a second season, even though I haven't even, you know, finished the first. But I already know I'm going to like this. I know within a first one or two episodes if I'm going to like a show or not. And I already know I'm going to like this. So check it out. Again, thank you all for listening. Please rate, subscribe, and review on Apple Podcasts. It is much appreciated. And we're back next Thursday with yet another podcast guest. I believe it's going to be Bachelor Data, Susanna Summers, because we're going to talk about getting ready for Zach's season, go over some of the women, some of their Instagrams, who's doing the things right already, who's doing some questionable things already on Instagram, and talk about the influencer culture versus content creator, because there is a difference. A lot of good stuff to talk about with Susanna next week. So that is the plan, to have her on next week. And yeah, we'll go from there. So thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. And I will talk to you next week. See ya!